Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined today by a man I feels like we haven't been on. He hasn't been on in probably, a year and a half? It is.
Oh, geez. It's been a minute.
It's one of the OGs. It's Ian Kuzik who is here, who has the terrific I'm Walking Here podcast every week. Does a terrific job there with his co-host Bryson, who I am convinced doesn't like me because I'm just convinced he doesn't like me because at points I've been like, hey, would you like to come on the show? And he's like, no. And that's fine. Not everyone likes.
Let's not get into that right now. We're here to talk some football. We got some big football to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I continue my streak of making everyone uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah, you know, what matters is that I like you, Eric.
I'm undefeated in that. Yes, I like you too, Ian. It has been too long. I miss pro sports fandom in the PSF days.
R.I.P., man. That was PSF. That was a classic.
Days are old. But yeah, let's get to it. Let's start with the biggest news of the day today. Ron Rivera fired as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. This, I don't necessarily agree with the move, but I understand why it happened. I don't think Ron Rivera is a guy that you let walk out of your building. I think he's a really talented head coach, but I understand why the ownership in David Tepper decided to move on. He's a new owner. He didn't hire Rivera. He didn't hire the GM either. It looks like they're moving on from Cam Newton this offseason. So it just made sense to kind of clean house altogether, I guess. But what do you think about this move for the Panthers?
Yeah, they're just hitting the reset button on this whole franchise right now. You know, I can understand why they got rid of Rivera. I would have waited until the end of the season. Because even though the Panthers aren't exactly in a competing position right now, I don't see them. I see them being like a mid draft pick this year, so towards like the 16 to 18 spot. As for Rivera, he's been a good head coach. Slipped up the last couple of years. I was expecting him to be on the hot seat this offseason, possibly for firing, as it's been the last two seasons. It feels like. It's just the Panthers haven't really been the same ever since they lost the Super Bowl to your Denver Broncos a few years ago.
Mm. Man, that feels like forever ago.
It really does. That was my junior year of high school, I believe, and now I'm a junior in college, so that's kind of insane.
Wait, that was your junior year of high school? Oh, I guess that is right.
Yep.
Because I'm thinking back, I thought, it's when I was in ninth grade. When I was in ninth grade, that's the year the Broncos got blown out to the Seahawks. So.
That's right. Yeah, we're the same age. So.
Yeah, so it would make sense that it were my junior year because I was like, man, I'm pretty sure that wasn't my junior year. but it indeed was. Damn, time will get on time, man.
Indeed, it will.
What were we getting at there? Yes, obviously been a long time since the Panthers have had any really championship level success, of course, but you know, I just feel like this move was one that really it signals a change. Rivera wasn't playing their number one pick overall, Brian Burns, a lot in the defense. And Burns has played a significant role when he's gotten snaps. He's looked really good. But, yeah, it has been just kind of a bumpy ride all season for the Carolina Panthers.
It just hasn't been good for the Panthers. They've started off hot. You know, they looked pretty good at some points. Kyle Allen, ever since Cam Newton went on IR, he's been looking good against not so good teams. He looks so against other teams. I think that just on the cost effectiveness between him and Cam Newton, I think that they are going to get rid of Cam this offseason since that can save him like what? $18 million in cap space. Some ridiculous number like that. So I think it just in terms of money alone, it might just make sense to either get rid of or restructure significantly that contract, because
yeah,
it's $19 million worth of non-guaranteed money.
Yeah, that it's certainly something that you have to look at if you're a Panthers fan or someone in that organization and say, you know, it might be time to kind of move on, especially with the perceived depth in this quarterback class. The Panthers, don't look now, but they might have a chance to pick within the top 5 to 6 if their season keeps going downhill. They're about 5-7 right now. The rest of the schedule, it's formidable. They have the Falcons, the Seahawks, the Colts, and the Saints left. So there is a definite possibility that the Panthers could lose out and get a better draft pick. I see them going more 6-10. I think they end up beating the Falcons, but it's going to be a very different looking Carolina Panthers team next year, I think.
I actually think they're going to lose all four of those next games.
Okay.
I don't see them beating Atlanta, especially after what happened last time against Atlanta, where they just got rocked. They were at home too, I believe. I believe this coming game is in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't see it happening, just how badly they performed against Atlanta last time, which is incredible considering how bad Atlanta's defenses have notoriously been. So seeing how, like, they had, what, 4 interceptions on Kyle Allen, held him to 3 points. I don't see it being nearly as lopsided as it was that time, but I think Atlanta does pull that off. So I do think that the Panthers will wind up 5-11 on the season. I don't know where that'll put them draft pick wise, but I said 16-18 earlier. It's going to be more like 11 or 12 right at best.
Yeah. I want to go back. Why don't we use this time to talk about the Carolina Panthers a little bit, actually, because I want to talk about kind of their season thus far. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey's a guy who's going to be in the running for Offensive Player of the Year, potentially even MVP. But the team has offensively kind of struggled over the past few weeks. Kyle Allen has kind of declined a bit, but not to the point where I think some people think they are. People talk about Kyle Allen these days on Twitter and such as if he's the best, as if he's the absolute worst quarterback in the entire NFL. And I just don't think that's the case. I think he's an average kind of baseline low-tier starter right now, and I think he's definitely an elite-level kind of backup-type guy. I see him the way I kind of see guys like Nick Foles and Case Keenum. Like, they're options to start, but they aren't obviously the best. I don't think the year has been as bad as some people think it has been. What do you think?
I like the Case Keenum comparison. I think Foles is a tier or two above him just because Foles has seen success, like extreme success as a starting quarterback. You see that season with Philadelphia, I think it was, what, 2013, where he had like a 27-2 touchdown to interception ratio. Mm-hmm. That was an insane season. That was like Brady's 2016 season. But when you look at how Kyle Allen's playing, I do see the Case Keenum comparison a lot, to where definitely a solid backup. As a starter, you see some success, you see some very bad play. So it's a mixed bag when you see him as a starter. But I feel like as a backup, he's a very solid option.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Panthers have had some bright spots on offense, whereas guys like Curtis Samuel and Jarius Wright have not progressed to the point at which some Panthers fans think they might have over the offseason. Curtis Samuel was a guy who was getting a lot of hype this offseason. That really hasn't paid off. He's been fine, but he only has 500 yards this year. While that's been the case, DJ Moore has emerged as a legitimate number one receiver, 980 yards this year. I think the Panthers overall have some real positive offensive building blocks to build around in the future. And on defense, they have some studs. They have Mario Addison, who has completely taken off this year, 9.5 sacks. They have Brian Burns, who's played well, even though he's only gotten a limited workload. Bruce Irvin is not the player that he once was, but he's still provided some good tackling. And Gerald McCoy has again been good this year with about 5 sacks, only 30 tackles. He has kind of regressed as a run blocker, I will admit. At least that's what I see when I watch the limited Carolina Panthers teams I do on Game Pass. But I just think the Carolina Panthers have a lot of young talent, and I think this is one of the most, if not the most, attractive landing spot for kind of a head coach who really wants to build a team.
I'm honestly kind of amazed that you talk about this Panthers defense, not mention Luke Kuechly, one of the best linebackers in the NFL.
Well, absolutely. I feel like he gets a lot of pub just kind of flat out. I want to talk about some of the guys that maybe the general public isn't as right. aware of.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah, so I definitely understand. They definitely have some pieces
on that defense. But Kuechly has, again, played, to your point, like a Pro Bowler this year. He has been absolutely incredible. Leads the team again in tackles.
As Luke Kuechly does, you know, he's just such a solid player, great, great player, that frankly, every defense should have someone like Luke Kuechly who can just be all over the field, whether it be in pass coverage, whether it be, you know, right in the box to be able to stuff the run. He can play on the outside too. He can, not so much of an edge rusher, but still, he's just all over the place, and it's just incredible what he can do and what he can bring to a defense. But as for the rest of the defense, I really do think that with the right coaches leading the way, this defense could be really good. And same with the offense too. Christian McCaffrey having a career season, which frankly, I don't even think we've seen the best of him yet. I feel like he's going to get even better from this point. But there's just a couple of holes that they need to fill in this team. They need a definite quarterback for the future. Do you need a definite head coach? Get some big changes in there, and I think that this team could be dangerous just like that 2015 season. Whether it's Cam at quarterback, whether Kyle Allen develops into a franchise quarterback, whether they decide to start using Will Greer, because, you know, they didn't use a third round pick on Will Greer just to not use him.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. The reports out of camp earlier in the summer were that he was terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that he basically played himself into being the third stringer, which is, I didn't see a ton of him in the preseason, but I just
I don't watch a lot of Panthers preseason. Yeah, so
I just heard really bad things about him. So hopefully he improves, which I'm sure he can. He's obviously a really young quarterback, but it'll be interesting to see where they go quarterback wise. I wanted to talk a little bit more about coaches that could potentially be fired, talk about coaches on the hot seat a little bit. And I thought we could both go back and forth, list off two, you list off one, I'll list off one, you list off one, and then maybe a final surprise one. But I'll let you start. Who do you think right now that is left is on the hottest seat?
Well, this guy, he's pretty much sitting in a frying pan right now. Let's just talk about Jason Garrett, because that Dallas Cowboys team is too talented to only be 6-6, and it's a very shaky 6-6. They've lost games that they just cannot afford to lose. I still can't believe how badly they played against the Jets. I mean, that's a team that's lost to the Miami Dolphins. If you lose to a team that's lost to the Dolphins,
and the Bengals,
there needs to be serious changes. Yes, they did just lose to the Bengals too, which I don't even. It really is amazing how poorly they've played in some games and how amazingly they've played in others. That Jets loss, though, that Jets loss is going to burn. That's going to leave a bad mark on this season for this team. And I think heads are going to start rolling because of it, starting with Jason Garrett.
Yeah, obviously he's the most kind of glaring choice. Even if they make the playoffs, even if they were to go to the divisional round, I think Jerry Jones might consider moving on from him. I think it's kind of Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys at this point with this current kind of coaching staff. And I agree with you. I think Garrett's a guy to definitely watch as a guy that's going to get fired. But to that point, I think Jason Garrett's a guy that would be scooped up on any coaching staff immediately after he got fired. I wanted to throw that kind of element into these as well, because I'm interested if some of these guys get kind of recycled around. I certainly think Rivera's going to be a head coach next year. I really do.
Yeah, maybe not a head coach, but I feel like some of these guys are definitely going to get picked up as coordinators.
I think Rivera's good enough that he'll be a head coach next year. And I'm pretty confident in that. But my guy is within my division, Anthony Lynn. I think he is really on the hot seat. He has never really done anything with the Chargers other than keep them the Chargers. And they really lost in the most goddamn Charger way against the Broncos. Every Chargers game is basically the same. They get down early. They stage a massive comeback. It's tied. Their kicker misses a kick. They kill themselves with penalties, or Phillip Rivers turns over the balls. And that's about how it happens every single week. And they have lost I believe they have lost the most one-score games this year. I believe I heard this stat yesterday, of any team in the NFL. And that's just insane. And that's a coaching problem. That's a situation where if you have a different coach, I truly believe that the Chargers – now, I don't – that the Chargers have enough talent to be much better than 4-12. A playoff team, probably not. But they are definitely a team that should be 7-9 wins and be kind of in the hunt. They should not be out of it at this point in the season, and they are. And I think Anthony Lynn has kind of been the problem there for a little while. They've never been a super great coach team. The best he's done is last year when they got blown out by the Patriots in that divisional round. I really think that Anthony Lynn is going to be fired by the end of the season.
I could definitely see that happening, solely because the team has had such good potential and yet has just fallen flat in just about every aspect. Last season, they looked really good going into the playoffs. Then they got curb stomped by New England in New England, which, you know, that's kind of to be expected in the playoffs.
Right, right.
But then they bounce back this season. I think they're what now? 3-9, 4-8?
They are 4-8. They are 4-8.
I mean, that's just you really can't bounce back from a season like that.
Team where if they ever did decide to bench Phillip Rivers, it would be pretty much perfect, because if they could somehow finish 4-5 wins, they'd have a shot to draft their future quarterback.
Yeah, there's a few quarterbacks that are going to be on the board at their pick if they just outright tank the rest of the season away.
And there's word that Phillip Rivers is near being benched, which, I mean, Phillip Rivers has been bad this year. You know me, I'm a big Eli washed guy, but I got to admit, when other quarterbacks are washed, and Phillip Rivers is washed, he's about as washed as they get. He can't make the throws anymore, and he turns the ball. He threw an interception on a screen pass this week. It was quite embarrassing. Phillip Rivers is not good right now. I'd say he's a bottom five quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah, he's not been looking good, which sucks because, you know, Philip Rivers is kind of a guy that everyone just really likes. You know, he doesn't do anything stupid off the field. He seems like a good guy. But it's, the play has just not been there. Just hasn't been there, which is unfortunate because this Chargers team is too talented to only have 4 wins at this point in the season.
Right. Your next coach.
My next coach is going to be Matt Patricia. I wasn't a fan of this hire coming into it, so coming to last season. He had a very rough last season in New England. I believe the Patriots are like the 30th ranked defense in the NFL. They're giving up a ton of yards a game. Not doing very good in the points per game department either. So obviously that means that Detroit's going to hire him as a head coach after that season. Coming off quite possibly one of the worst defensive displays I've ever seen in the Super Bowl that year. The move just made no sense. Patricia, look, I appreciate everything Patricia has done for the Patriots, but he wasn't a good defensive coordinator. So I really don't understand why Detroit hired him in the first place. And now that he's like, he's 9-18-1 as a head coach with the Lions, I feel like after the end of the season, he's going to be looking for a different job because the Lions are miserable. We know that. Patricia's not doing anything to help that. And frankly, this is something that they just shouldn't have hired him. I, for one, am glad that he's gone because that brought in Brian Flores to be defensive coordinator first season for the Patriots. We won a Super Bowl. Then he goes to head coach of Miami. And now we've got Gerard Mayo and Steve Belichick calling the plays for the Patriots. And it's looking even better than the Flores days, which was exponentially better than the Patricia days. So, I don't know. I'm happy he's not in New England anymore. I'm going to come back to my first point. Why did they hire him in the first place?
I don't know. People get sucked in with the allure of coaching under Bill Belichick, I feel like. And I think that's kind of where Patricia falls in. I want to talk briefly about the Lions because they have had the most just unbelievably terrible season of all time. And I know at the beginning of the year, I was really down on the Lions and I looked wrong for about the first 4 weeks, but I just can't imagine a season going much worse than the poor Lions has. Terrible coaching, massive holes on defense have emerged, an MVP like Matthew Stafford gets hurt, bad penalty luck, injuries all over the offense with Hawkinson, with Kerryon Johnson, with Marvin Jones missing some times. The only bright spot they have is basically Kenny Golladay at this point, who is playing like a pro bowler.
Golladay is saving my fantasy team, so I'm happy about that.
Making great plays every week. All they have is Kenny Golladay at this point because Matthew Stafford is hurt. And it is awful. The season can be described in one word, and that is awful. And I would certainly not disagree with you. I think Patricia's out. My good friend Walker Kelly on Twitter, who's a diehard Lions fan, he has pointed out many a time the coaching flaws and just the lack of situational awareness and some of the bad play calling. And, yeah, it has not been a great season for the poor Detroit Lions. My second guy, I'm going to go with who did I have here? Well, I think Freddie Kitchens, unfortunately. I was so wrong about Freddie Kitchens. I thought he was going to come in. I thought the offense was going to be great. I thought throughout the offseason that this was one of the best coaching staffs in the NFL, with Steve Wilks on defense, with Todd Monken on offense, and this has been the worst offense expectations-wise in the entire NFL. Baker Mayfield has regressed under his new head coach. They need to get someone else in there to give it a try, and preferably someone with some experience. I could see a guy like a Ron Rivera going to the Browns and cultivating all that defensive talent that they have there, which is honestly deeper than their offense, in my opinion. And you get him the right offensive coordinator for Baker, and you fix that offensive line, and maybe you have a contender next year. But this season just has not gone more poorly than it could have for the Browns. And I know Browns fans that have said this season is worse than the 0-16 season, just because of the expectations that were and what this team is not.
Oh, man. Freddie Kitchens, I don't know how an offense that was actually pretty solid last season could regress so much with Odell Beckham added to the lineup. Obviously, losing David Njoku hurts, but that doesn't just mean you can disregard Odell from your, you know, passing attack at all. And he's, like, top five in targets this year, but he's 22nd in catches or something like that. You got to be able to get the ball to Odell more. I don't care if you have to double his targets. You can't just disregard a target like that. It helps that Nick Chubb has been having a great season so far. But at the same time, this isn't the 1990s. You can't rely on a running back to succeed in an offense anymore. You need a passing attack. And you got Odell and Jarvis Landry. Landry's having a pretty solid season. Odell, not so much. I just think they need to incorporate Odell into the passing attack more, because you didn't give up all that, you know, draft capital and Jabril Peppers just to not use Odell. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I can't say it any better. It doesn't make sense why this offense isn't any good. And I just think that's a guy that's going to be out. One surprise name you think might be fired this coming Black Monday?
Jeez, one surprise that I could see? Would Doug Marrone be really like a surprise?
I don't think that's a surprise.
I don't know if I have any real surprises. I mean,
No one you would even take just a random shot in the dark at, because I have one.
I mean, maybe Doug Peterson if the Eagles lose out, but, like, I don't see them losing out. I see them ending around 8-8, and I don't think that's going to be enough to get Doug Peterson fired. But aside from that,
I think Matt Nagy.
Okay, I can understand that. I don't think Nagy's going to get fired this season. I think it's going to be more. They're going to look for someone other than Trubisky, because I think, while the play calling has been atrocious, and the fact that they are underutilizing Tariq Cohen is borderline criminal, I think Trubisky is the biggest problem in that team right now, and I think they need someone who can actually throw the football. Before I want to say, let's just throw Nagy to the side.
I just think that there's been so much that has gone terribly in Chicago. The way he's handled the kicking situation, the way he's called plays, the way he's underutilized guys like David Montgomery. I just think that they could, especially because I think what's in danger of happening and why I think he might be fired is because I think Ryan Pace is going to get fired. And I think the new GM might come in and say, hey, I want a new guy, and get rid of him kind of later on in the process. And I truly believe that he is in real danger. I could definitely see that happening. The other thing is, if the Broncos lost out, with the fact that there are more experienced coaches now on the market, Vic Fangio might be a guy that would be a surprise, but wouldn't, you know, shock me. He has kind of had some questionable play calling this year and has really mismanaged the clock at every opportunity. The team's more disciplined, but bad at managing clock. So those were kind of my two surprises. But
I can see that.
Anyone else you want to touch on as far as coaching changes go?
There was one more lock that I was thinking of. Pat Shurmur for sure is gone.
You live in the Northeast. I watched Daniel Jones today because I wanted to watch the Packers. What do you think of Daniel Jones? I agree with you. I think the Giants are firing him for sure. I think he's been a terrible head coach. But what do you see from the Giants in general right now? Is there hope? Is this an attractive job?
If you're a guy that knows how to develop quarterbacks, Daniel Jones is very raw right now. So I'm not going to say this is a terrible job because I could see in the right offense, I could see him succeeding. He's shown some really good things. He's also shown some really bad things. And you need someone like Sean McVay from last year. Get like, what's his name? I always forget his name. Bruce Arians. Get someone like him with Daniel Jones. Just, if you can get him in the right scheme with the right offense, I could see him succeeding. He's shown some good. He's shown some bad. But it's been a lot of both to the extremes. He hasn't shown much consistency. So I'm not going to say he's a bust yet. I'm not going to say he's the answer, though.
Yeah, I agree with you. I see really good things. He makes some really kind of good throws. Deep down the field, man, his arm strength is not very good. That's a problem. Do you see that? I only ask you so much about the Giants because I know you kind of live in the media market. But, like, when he throws deep, it's always kind of a duck. Am I the only one that sees that?
He's definitely just to chuck it up and pray. The thing is, you don't have Odell to do that anymore. You can't be throwing out prayers to Sterling Shepard and
Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard's a great wide receiver.
He's a solid wide receiver, but he's not Odell. He's not Odell. I don't think that's a very controversial take to say that Sterling Shepard is not Odell. It's not even you can't be doing that to guys that aren't Odell. I mean, granted, you got Darius Slayton who's looking really solid. But again, he's not Odell. He's not jumping up and making impossible catches just because he threw up a duck. Odell was doing that most of the time because he had Eli throwing terrible passes to him.
Right.
He had to make those catches. So I feel like that's not a good way to go about your conducting your offense by just chucking it up and praying. Especially on deep balls, you can't just be – that's how you get interceptions. That's how he's getting dangerously close to having more interceptions than touchdowns.
Right.
Because he's just making such terrible throws. But even if you want to talk about turnovers in general, I'm pretty sure he has more turnovers than touchdowns.
He fumbles the ball more than any quarterback I've ever seen. Even Jameis. Definitely. Even Jameis. He fumbles more than Jameis. And that's kind of an incredible accomplishment.
It's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of wonder if the Giants are actually an attractive job. And I honestly think the Jets are a better job than the Giants. And I think Adam Gase is out. I really do.
I don't know if they're going to move on after one season.
With Ron Rivera available, I just I saw that today. I just think Ron Rivera and the Jets, that would make a lot of sense. Because you get a great defensive mind with some great defensive talent like Jamal Adams, and maybe he can figure out how to unlock Quinnen Williams. I just feel like Ron Rivera would be and he's got the right kind of demeanor for New York, I think. I just think that Ron Rivera would be perfect for the Jets.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's a maybe for sure. But I don't know.
Okay, let's get to it. Let's get to some actual games, and let's start with the Patriots. I want to ask you this. I don't know if you've followed my stance on the Patriots recently on Twitter, but I am not worried. I know that's an unpopular opinion to have, but until I see the Patriots not in the Super Bowl in February, I tend to think that even if they don't figure the offense out, I think the defense can get what happened against Houston, which was big plays, kind of figured out and locked down. And I don't know. Am I crazy to not be at all worried about the Patriots? Because I'm not at all worried about the Patriots, even after Sunday night.
I'm not confident that they're going to make the Super Bowl, frankly. Right now, they are the number two seed. Number one is Baltimore. Baltimore is borderline unstoppable at home, which if the season ends the way it does right now, New England would likely – I won't even say likely because I want to take this one game at a time. If both sides went out to meet in the AFC Championship, this game is going to be in Baltimore where the Patriots looked lost. I'm not confident that this team's going past the AFC Championship. And frankly, we might be fortunate at this point to make it to the AFC Championship just because of how sluggish we look on offense.
Yeah, there are definitely problems on offense. I'm not denying that. The offense is definitely a problem. What's the deal with N'Keal Harry? Because I for sure thought he was going to be good for them, and he's been terrible. He got benched last week.
I think he's just struggling to build a rapport with Brady. We just haven't seen much of him and Brady. Obviously, he's only played two games this season. I guess he's technically played three because he did play in the Philly game, just not much. But aside from that touchdown in the Dallas game, he hasn't really done much for us. I just don't know if he's struggling to build a rapport with Brady or if anything else is going on. It's crazy how N'Keal Harry isn't our best rookie wide receiver this season. I mean, Jacoby Myers has been way better. He doesn't have a touchdown yet this season, but he's just been playing way, way better. And that's just something that I wish that he would be more involved and he and Brady would be a more effective combo. Because I thought that Harry was going to be that big body target that we were going to be getting ever since we lost Gronk. Because obviously Harry's not as big as Gronk is. Harry's like, what, 6'3", 215. Gronk was 6'6", 260. So obviously it's not the same, but it would be nice to have a big target like that that can consistently be a threat over the middle in the red zone and such. We just haven't really seen much of that yet because of the injury and then a slow start.
Why can't they run the ball? What changed? Because they were so dominant running the ball last year. What changed?
Well, losing David Andrews for the season with I believe it was a kidney disease or something like that. He was out for the season before it even started. So that's unfortunate. And he was a big guy for running the ball in the middle. So now that we don't have our best center, we're running Ted Karras at center, who is usually a guard, mind you. So he's playing out of his normal position. And he's not that great. But that's whatever. That's fine. We still have four of our main starters. Isaiah Wynn looks pretty good until he was put on IR week three. He's come back. He's returning to form, thank God. But I think losing David Andrews is the big part. And then also losing James Devlin, to a neck injury. That might have hurt it even more.
Right. He's a key blocker.
You know, the fullback isn't used anymore in the NFL, except for like a handful of teams. Like, you know, the 49ers have Juszczyk. The Ravens have Ricard.
Right.
Those are actually the only two big ones I can think of right now outside of Devlin. But not a lot of teams use their fullbacks.
The Packers use Vitale all the time.
Oh, yes, Vitale and the Packers.
And they use him in the passing game, which is weird. But
yeah. I mean, teams have been starting to do that now. And granted, I think that the fullback position has its place in certain offenses. The Patriots, who are a big power run offense right up the gut, Devlin's a huge part of that. And I really think that James Devlin going down to injury rather early in the season. I don't remember what week it was, but it was super early on.
So is he out for the entire year, or is there a shot?
We've already used our two slots on players returning from IR. That was Wynn and Harry. So, and I don't think Devlin was even healthy enough to return this season anyways. I think he had to get neck surgery, so it's really unfortunate. But, so we're actually running one of our linebackers at fullback right now because we signed another fullback, Jakob Johnson, and he got hurt rather early too. He was actually looking pretty decent. So now we're running a Landon Roberts at fullback who plays linebacker by trade, but he's just doing everything now. So I guess we're not doing a lot of the power run stuff with like the I formation and everything. We're doing a lot more single back stuff, which hasn't exactly been something the Patriots do a lot of. So that's probably the big reason why the running game hasn't been there because of all the injuries.
Right. Yeah, it'll be definitely interesting to see how the Patriots improve. Their schedule, if I'm not mistaken, their schedule's tough, right? They play some pretty decent teams here in the next few weeks.
Well, I think there's four games left in the season. There's two big ones. So this week we're home against the Chiefs. Next week we're at the Bengals, so that's a free gimme win. Then we're home against the Bills, which is the other tougher game. And then we're home against the Dolphins to end it. So that's easily a 3-1 at worst, 2-2 at or 4-0 at best. Because I really do think that we're going to win the last three games. The one big question mark is how we're going to handle the Chiefs. Although I think our defense is built to handle the Chiefs a lot better. Because a big part of why we've had a hard time with the Ravens just because Lamar Jackson's giving everyone a hard time.
Right.
But then the Texans, Deshaun Watson's a tough quarterback because he's a dual threat.
And they give up the one thing I think the Patriots defense gives up is they give up the big play. They don't give up anything small, but when they give stuff up, it's the big play. Teams pretty consistently all year, and I've watched the Patriots a lot for some reason, seem to be able to hit the big play on them. Do you see that same thing, or am I crazy?
Teams definitely get away with getting big play, and that's part of so the Patriots do a lot of off-man coverage. So they don't do a lot of press man to knock them off their routes. They'll have their corners staying back around 10 yards. So every now and then, it's designed to generally avoid giving up the big play so you can give your cornerback some space while sticking on a man. But what happens sometimes is that if a big play gets by you, it's gonna hurt a lot. And that's the unfortunate truth about it, that sometimes a big play is going to get by.
Yeah.
But I think they've done a really good job at avoiding the big play for the most part. It's just that when it happens, it tends to kill us.
Absolutely. All right, so you wanted to talk about some of the contenders. We could do that really quickly. I don't want this episode to run extra long.
I don't know how long we are right now, but
we're about like 47 minutes. Which is all cool. But I want to just touch on, I want to know what you think, to be honest, because I know who I think are the contenders, but I want to know what you think. Give me, because to me, when you say contender, I mean the top three teams in each conference that you truly believe.
So the top three teams in the AFC and NFC.
Yeah.
All right. So right now I'll go number one in the AFC is the Baltimore Ravens. I don't think I need to explain that one very much. Number two, but a rather distant two at this point, is the Patriots. And then number three, I'll go with the Chiefs, although that defense has some question marks right now. I might even argue the Texans are the more complete team in comparison to the Chiefs, but I'm going to give it to the Chiefs just because how explosive their offense is.
Yeah, they put up 40 points without using Patrick Mahomes on Sunday. They basically didn't let him throw. He only had like 193 yards. And they just
that was a really weird game because the Raiders significantly outgained them.
And they forced turnovers. That was the other thing. I
believe they did, yeah. Their defense has definitely stepped up the last couple of weeks.
But Derek Carr threw like three picks and a pick six. So
that's true. Yep.
It was a rough game for Carr. I see that. I agree with you mostly. I like the Texans a lot too, but I wouldn't put them as three. I agree with you. I think it goes kind of Ravens, Patriots, Chiefs. I'm really interested to see what happens in this Chiefs-Patriots game this week, especially because it's in New England. If the Chiefs can somehow find a way to win this game, I am going to think about them much differently and start rethinking and saying, hey, maybe this is like a Super Bowl level team. I don't see that from them right now. I know Patrick Mahomes is back from injury now, but I don't think he's looked 100%. I don't think the offense is where they were at the beginning of the year. I think they need to get kind of back on track here in December. And if they do that, I think they can be extra dangerous in the playoffs. What do you think about the NFC here?
The NFC, I'm going to cheat a little and do a top four here because there's four clear-cut number one, four clear-cut teams, the cream of the crop here. So I think the most complete team is New Orleans. With, I think, Drew Brees coming back to speed, I think they are the most complete team.
See, I want to debate you on this really quick because I don't understand people who like New Orleans. Like, their offense has been terrible the past 3 weeks. Their only explosive player on Thanksgiving was Taysom Hill. Like, their defense won them that game against the Falcons and just barely, really. I don't understand the love for the Saints. Drew Brees has not looked good this year. He kind of has taken the Tom Brady mantle of throwing a really good slant and crossing route. But outside of that, he can't push the ball down the field anymore. Their only real weapon there is Michael Thomas. Alvin Kamara has not looked like the same guy through most of the year and is very week to week. Some weeks he'll show up, some weeks he won't. I get the defense is good, but I just think what pisses me off is people say they're a better team than the Seattle Seahawks, and there is just no way that's true right now because the Seahawks offense is better and the Seahawks defense right now is starting to play better. I do not understand the love for the Saints.
I think that the Saints, everything's kind of coming together. Yeah, they played really sloppy on Thanksgiving. Breeze, I think he's still working things out from his thumb injury that he just came back from a few weeks ago.
Or he's old. Or he's old and he just can't push down the ball down the field anymore, which I think you need a quarterback that can push the ball down the field to win a Super Bowl in the NFC.
You definitely do, and I don't think that the Saints are going to come out of the NFC in the playoffs just because Breeze has looked shaky. But I think right now, I think they are the top team in the NFC. You can obviously make a case for the Seahawks. You can make a case for the Niners. Hell, you could even make a case for the Packers. Spoiler alert, those are the four teams I had in my top four. You can make a case for any of those four teams. I just think that right now, the way everything's looking, New Orleans' defense looks like it's going to be on point. Offensively, they've got some kinks they still need to work out. But I think that on paper, this offense should be the best one in the NFC when it's firing on all cylinders.
Hmm. Well, we'll just have to disagree on that one. So where would you rank those other three?
You see, I don't know who to put ahead of each other on Seattle, San Francisco. I think I'll put Seattle ahead of them right now just because they have one head-to-head. They also, you know, I'll put Seattle ahead of San Francisco just because I think Seattle's offense – I think that Seattle's defense is better than San Francisco's offense because, obviously, offensively, Seattle's a better team. Defensively, San Francisco's a better team. I think that in terms of what's not as strong, I think Seattle's defense is better than San Francisco's offense. So I'll go 2, Seattle, 3, San Francisco, 4, Green Bay.
What do you think about the Packers? I'm really interested in what other people think about the Packers because week to week, they're a very interesting team. Last week, I said Aaron Rodgers is holding the ball too long, which he was against the 49ers, but then against the Giants, he looked great, like a top three.
So he has some issues against one of the best defenses in the NFL, but he looks really good against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. That's hard-hitting stuff right there. But, I was skeptical of the Matt LaFleur signing. That's worked out very well for him. The Packers have looked pretty good offensively. Obviously, a hiccup against the Niners, but the Niners are just insane. So I don't really think that anyone should be surprised that they had a hard time dealing with it. Mm-hmm. Come playoff time, if they wind up having to play them, that might say a lot, especially if I would assume that if the season were to end today, Green Bay would wind up playing San Francisco in Green Bay. Actually, I don't even know if that'd be how it works. No, it probably wouldn't work out that way because Green Bay would be the 3 seed and San Francisco would be the 5 seed. So they wouldn't play each other. But I still think that if it comes to it in the playoffs where San Francisco and Green Bay are playing against each other in Green Bay, I don't know how that's going to turn out. That might be a Packers win, or it might be a very close Niners win. I don't think it's not going to be a blowout like it was in Santa Clara.
All right. Yeah, I don't think they're going to get blown out again this year either. I just think they're a little bit too talented for that. And the more I think about it, the more San Francisco just seems like kind of an anomaly to me because they have beaten some good teams this year, the Packers, and some decent defenses. I wonder how far they get in the playoffs. I hesitate to call them a contender just because, frankly, I don't see them getting past perhaps even the divisional round. I just think that the Seahawks and the Niners are that much better. But Green Bay's had an interesting year. They haven't really beaten anyone outside of the Vikings in week 2, and the Vikings may not be what we thought they were. And the Chiefs are their 2 biggest wins. But when they've performed their best, it has been against kind of these terrible defenses. And I just wonder if against another great defense – they can succeed, and they'll have a good test in the Vikings in week 16. But I'm just interested to see how the rest of the Packers season plays out because they have some tomato cans left on the schedule. And if they can get – I think the key is to get Aaron Rodgers hot going into the playoffs because, to me, he is – I've developed this theory that he is one of the streakiest QBs in the NFL. When he's playing really well, he's unstoppable. When you can slow him down for a game, he tends to kind of stumble for 2 to 3 game stretches. But if he gets going, he keeps going, if that makes sense at all.
It does.
I just think that he's a really streaky quarterback, and if you can get him going against some bad defenses here and maybe one good kind of 10 to 20 point win against the Vikings – you've got a real problem going into the playoffs. But I just don't see them as a contender quite yet.
You know, that's why I had them at 4. They might be a fringe contender. They might also wind up just being a team that might just lose in the probably NFC Championship, I'm guessing, or maybe the divisional round, but it's going to be a tough road ahead for him, especially because I think that the three others, being the Saints, Seahawks, and Niners, are better than the Packers, but then again, I would be stupid to count out Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I would be stupid to do that.
I want to give you a chance to talk about I'm Walking here. You guys are obviously great. I know you guys talk about way more than just the NFL right now. What would you say the biggest thing non-NFL that you're talking right now is?
Well, it's got to be the college football playoff. That's coming up soon.
All right. What do you think about my Utah's chances?
So they're number 5 right now, right?
Yeah.
They have a very good chance if Georgia loses to LSU. In fact, I wouldn't say they're a lock, but I'd say they have a pretty good shot if Georgia loses.
Right.
They've just got to they got to take care of Oregon though.
Right.
So if Utah takes care of Oregon and LSU takes care of Georgia, I'd say you guys have a pretty good chance of making it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel right to just get slapped around by LSU in the first round, but you know. Yeah. That's still better than a lot of people would have expected.
Yeah, and I honestly hope we play Ohio State because we get smacked around by Ohio State, but at least I wouldn't have to root against Coach O. So
that's fair. That is very fair.
So I'm really hoping to play Ohio State. I know it'll be – but I think we can keep it close. I think we could keep it like 15 points. I think we can keep it within that. I think we can cover the spread. It'll be an interesting kind of bout of things going on. So when does that drop? Where can people find that and anything else you want
to plug? So I'll just plug the podcast. So we do weekly episodes every Saturday. You can find them on any of your podcast listening services, specifically Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, and whatnot. You can follow the Twitter account at IWH Podcast. I guess I'll plug my own Twitter too. You can follow my Twitter at Ian M. Cusick. That is spelled CUSICK. Follows for some really good content there. I like to think I have some pretty good tweets, but you know, I guess that's subjective. But that's all I have to plug.
All right. Well, sounds great, man. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. We will be back possibly later this week, but probably next week, probably a one-show show this week. But if something else changes, there might be a surprise episode later in the week. But anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.